that I die less. Greats, just protecting my investment. Ask about me, integrity, not a question. Straight up, all the way up. We the same boys that was down from the jump. Day boys, same boys, been around when the up like they break ones. Go on, you can charge it to the game. I'm all up in the photos, looking largest in the frames. Hey, keep high movement, I'm getting to the bag. But the amount of work requires not a price you wanna pay.
Whoa, let's go now.
How many of you, by showing of your hands, say, I have a side hustle? I have a side hustle. Got a few of you. Okay. How many of you would say, by raising your hand, you'd say, I have an idea for a side hustle that I might do one day? Oh, yeah. A few of you are there. And raise your hand if you have no idea what I'm talking about. What is a side hustle? Okay, so you know what a side hustle is. So here's simply put, a side hustle is when you work an extra job, an extra thing for some extra income. It's not part of your regular job, but it's something extra. It requires extra effort, extra hustle. And so last year, my youngest son, Radley, he came to me, he said, Dad, I want a side hustle. I'm like, why? He's like, I want to earn some extra money. I'm like, you already have a job. You work at Chick-fil-A. He's like, but Dad, I want to earn some extra money. I got this idea for a side hustle. And I'm like, why do you need extra money? He's like, Dad, I want to go on a missions trip. I'm like, oh, okay. So you're trying to raise some money for a missions trip? I said, so what's your idea? He said, Dad, I want to sell t-shirts online. I want to make up apparel and put it up online. He said, but I need your help because I'm not 18 and someone has to pay the taxes. I'm like, okay, so it's going to be a father-son adventure side hustle. And so just a few months ago, we finally got it off the ground. We have an online Etsy shop where we're selling apparel. And let me tell you, in the last 2 months, after expenses and everything, Radley and I, we have made $10. $10, that's what we've made. And so why isn't our side hustle paying off? Well, let me tell you, because in order for it to pay off, we're going to have to actually do some extra hustling to create some more products, to have more quantity of things, and we got to market it really well. You see, there's going to be some extra work involved. It just doesn't happen just because we want it to happen, just because we tried it. We got to do extra work to get the extra cash for our causes. In this series, we're looking at different people in the Bible who had to hustle to get what Jesus had for them. And in the process, we're going to realize that extra effort is needed when it comes to what Jesus has for us. Simply put, we're going to need to hustle. Today, our goal is to ask and to answer this question. How do I get what I need from Jesus? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. If you've got it, I'd like you to pull out your phones, pull up the YouVersion Bible app. We're turning today to Mark chapter 5. We're reading out the New Living Translation, the NLT. We encourage you to look it up with us, even though in just a moment we're going to have the words up on the screen where you can read along with me. But we highly encourage you to look it up for yourself so that you can read for yourself what the Bible says. That way you can read all around and say, oh, that's what was happening around that story that Pastor talked about. But let me tell you where we're at in the whole scheme of the Bible. We're at the point that Jesus is on this planet, and we're finding about his public ministry, that he's going around town to town, he's preaching, he's teaching, he's helping people, he's healing people, and everywhere he goes, there's a crowd. On this particular day, he's in a town, he's traveling, and he gets approached by a dad. And a dad says, Jesus, my daughter is at home, and she's sick, she needs you. Will you come to my house? And Jesus said, sure, I'll come to your house. So Jesus and this dad are walking across town to this guy's house, to his dad's house. And it's now while they're walking, everybody wants to get near to Jesus. So they're all crowding around him. So they're getting in close. And so this whole crowd is walking And in the middle of this walk, this journey to this dad's house is when the story we're talking about today actually takes place. Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 25, it involves somebody who's in the crowd who reaches out to touch Jesus. Mark 5, 25, it says this. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she'd gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, and that we choose to change. Help us, God, as we focus on you. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Now, if we were producing a video right now, you might hear these three words. Lights, camera, action. That's right. And usually when those words are said, that means it's time for somebody to start doing something. And there are people who are behind the camera who want it done a certain way. Now, over the years, Shalee and I have made lots of videos that we use for announcements at church. And it was a while back that we were doing a summer explosion in another state in Kansas. And we really needed to get volunteers to sign up. We needed people to donate to support summer explosion. And we figured out that the best way to do this was to have our young children be on video. Instead of us being on video, if our kids ask people, you know what? People signed up, and the best was getting our youngest son to be on video. At the time, he was about 3 or 4 years old, and he was just cute, and he talked kind of cool, and he just melted your heart. And so we just scripted in that he would just say a line that would be in response to his brothers or sisters saying something on the video. And so we were filming him, and all we wanted him to do was to do this. Seriously? That's what we wanted. We wanted him to look at the camera, say, seriously? Okay. But no matter how hard we tried, he looked everywhere but the camera. He never said the word right, and the way he said it wasn't exactly right. And we just kept on saying over and over, trying to get him just to get this one little part to make this whole video. It's kind of frustrating. We actually have the behind-the-scenes footage of us trying to get Radley to say seriously on camera. Let's take a look. Lights, camera, action.
Shh. Look at the camera, Red.
Radley.
Right here. Smile and then say it.
Go.
Seriously?
Say it again.
Seriously?
Say, seriously?
Seriously.
Okay, but you gotta look at the camera.
Look right here.
Seriously.
One more time.
Seriously.
It says, no, he's not. He normally says that word fine. He's keeping his teeth together.
Say, seriously.
Seriously.
Okay, but real loud.
Seriously.
Okay, but he's good. But you need to look in here. He's looking down here.
Oh, we wanted him to do it just a certain way. And no matter how hard we tried, you see, there was something actually distracting him. You see, off camera to the side, we were filming in one of our kids' rooms, and in those rooms were Xboxes, and his favorite game, Lego Star Wars, was there. And he's just like, can I go play Lego Star Wars? And so if we turned our backs to the chair to where he was at, he was gone. He was off playing Xbox. He was like, are we done yet? And we're like, no, we need you to do the right action. Now, the problem was that seriously wasn't his only line in our video. We needed him to do something else. We needed him to be sad because his brothers and sisters were about to say, no one has signed up to volunteer at Summer Explosion. And we wanted him to be, oh, and be sad. Do you know how hard it is to get a 4-year-old to look sad? And so we were having to brainstorm and come up with creative ways to get the right action that we needed out of Radley. And so we decided that we were going to become parents of the year and try to get our son to cry. And we couldn't think of any way except that all he wanted to do was play Lego Star Wars. So we decided we're canceling, we're taking away Star Wars. And so we let the film, the camera run and record, and we gave him the bad news. And what we got was gold. Let's take a look.
Look up. Look up at the camera.
I want you to be really sad. Really sad. I'm taking away Star Wars. No more Star Wars.
He cried real tears. Real tears. Did you see what he did? He turned his back on us. This was awesome. We used that footage, and tons of people signed up to volunteer at Summer Explosion. Yeah, parents of the year. Yeah. I'm telling you, it took creative action on our part to get the actions we needed from Radley on video. We really needed him to do his part. But just because you need something really bad doesn't mean it's going to happen. You see, this woman we just read about in Mark chapter 5, she had a need. She'd been sick. She'd been bleeding. And it's not normal to be constantly bleeding. As a matter of fact, in this culture, in this time, it's said that a woman who is bleeding has to not be in public. Cannot be around other people. If other people come around, she's got to claim, hey, I'm unclean. Do not be near me. And so this was not just, hey, I have a physical ailment, but this becomes a whole social thing as well, that she can't be around people. This is not working. So obviously she went to all the doctors that she could, and she paid all of her money to try to get a cure, to try to get help. But not only did it not help, but her condition got worse. If there was ever someone with the need, it was this lady. She has a health need. Now, we throw around the word need pretty flippantly, don't we? I hear this from my wife and my daughter all the time. Oh, Dad, I need this. My wife says, Ryan, don't I need this? And I'm like, hey, let me adjust what you're saying. You don't need it. You want it. And they're like, no, Dad, you're wrong. I need it. You know, we think we need things, but you know, there are times in our lives where we really do need something. We all really do need something at some point or another. And maybe that's your story today. Today, maybe you need hope. Maybe you need answers. Maybe you need direction. Maybe you need a miracle. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need a relationship breakthrough. Maybe you need financial help. At some point or another, there are times in our lives where we have a real need. Not a want, a need. Something we need that we can't do, but we really need. And maybe there's people in our life around us that they have real needs too. Sometimes what they really need is a gib slap. You know what that is? We can be friends. But here's the truth. No matter how great your need is, it's not going to just fix itself. Now, in our family, we have 5 kids, and 3 of them have gone off to college, and that meant that we have had to become experts at how do you deal with the FAFSA, financial aid, and everything, trying to figure out how do you pay for college? But I have to laugh because they use this phrase when it comes to paying for college, when it comes to financial aid, when it comes to scholarship, and say, oh, there's need-based awards. I'm like, ooh, really? Is it really need-based? Because if it really is need-based, my kids are going to college for free. But how many know that's not how it works? That they don't consider your need as being great sometimes. I mean, it would be good if things were based off need, but let me tell you, in our life, if everything was need-based, we wouldn't need anything. Now, this woman, she heard about Jesus. She heard the stories of miracles taking place, of how Jesus has set people free, how he's healed them, how he's delivered them. And she heard the stories, and she believed that, wow, if Jesus can do that for someone else, maybe he can do that for me. And maybe that's why you're even here today at Focus Church. Maybe you do have a need. Maybe you're watching online right now and you're wondering, like I need something. And I've tried everything. Like this woman has tried every doctor. I've tried everything. I've tried to figure things out. I've tried to be smart enough. I tried to be good enough. But maybe I've got to get God involved. Maybe you've heard about, hey, God has helped somebody else in their life, and maybe I've got to try something. Maybe that's where the answer is. Maybe I'll go and see. Maybe this Jesus guy, if we could just get to him, maybe he can help me with my need. And you know, believing, that's a start. It's the beginning. Believing that Jesus can help is the beginning. But that's not where it ends. Because just because you believe something doesn't mean it's going to happen either. There's a story told of a pastor who fell off a boat. And he's trying not to sink in the water, but he has his belief. He's like, I know God's going to rescue me. God's going to rescue me. I believe God's going to rescue me. And so he's praying out in the water, trying to stay afloat. God, rescue me. I believe you're going to rescue me. And while he's praying, he doesn't even notice that a fishing boat comes by. And they're like, sir, you okay? The guy yells, the preacher yells back. He's like, yes, I'm okay. I believe God's going to rescue me. Everything's going to be okay. So the fishing boat goes on its way. He's still there praying. God, I believe you're going to help me. I have a need here. And in the middle of him praying, a Coast Guard ship comes by. Sir, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I believe God's going to take care of me. He's out there in the water so long that he ends up getting tired, goes underneath the water, he dies. He finds himself in heaven, and he's like, whoa, wait, God, why am I here? Like, I thought you were going to rescue me. I believed that you were going to rescue me. And God's like, I tried. I sent you two boats. You see, it wasn't his belief that was it. He had to do something else. He was going to have to climb into a boat in order to be rescued. And sometimes we think that just thinking and knowing that Jesus is going to help is enough. But we've got to change our perspective. We've got to change how we look at this. We've got to change what we do about it. You see, because there's another step. There's something we're going to have to do. And really, sometimes we find ourselves, when we have our need, we think about how awful it is and how it's impossible, and we're desperate. We choose to believe, okay, I believe, God, that you can help me. And then we sit and do nothing. We just wait. We wait. But maybe during that waiting part, we need to be asking a few questions. That while I have a need and while I'm believing, maybe we need to say, God, what is it that I need to do here? What can I learn? How can I grow closer to you during this time? And let me tell you, those three questions right there, that if you actually would take those three questions, start applying them to your everyday life with situations that you are dealing with, those questions, they're the secret to how to grow in your relationship with God. Because your growth in your relationship with God is directly tied to your action. What you do, not just what you believe, not just what you think, not just what you intend to do, but you actually have to hustle and do something. This woman believed that Jesus was her answer so much. She believed so much that it drove her to action. Remember, we said that in this day and time, if a woman was constantly bleeding, she could not be in public. That means she could not be in the town. She could not be in the middle of a crowd. But what does this describe? It says that she went into the crowd. She had to do something that she wasn't allowed to do. And not only did she go into the crowd, but she had to fight her way through the crowd. I mean, How many have been in a crowd that you would say, wow, sometimes people in a crowd, they're kind of mean. You're trying to get elbow room. You don't want someone to get in front of you. And you're like, hey, I want to get close to the celebrity that's walking right here. And everyone's just pushing and they're not being nice. And yet she's like, I've got to get through this crowd in order to get to Jesus. If she could just touch him, if she could just touch the edge of his robe, she knew it would make a difference. She knew that it wasn't just believing, but she had to take action. Her belief prompted her to action. And so she did not allow the crowd to stop her. When someone pushed her, she pushed back. She pushed through harder. She hustled. She made extra effort to get there. And as she got closer to Jesus, I just picture it in my mind like I'm producing a film. The way I picture it, can you just imagine Jesus walking? He's got that dad next to him who's leading the way to his house. You got the disciples kind of all surrounding him, kind of pushing the crowd back. So, hey, come on, don't get close to Jesus. Come on, keep your distance. Come on, like let's all be civil here, right? Like security guards. And he got this woman who's fighting through the crowd. Ugh, I got to get there. And she's getting, and he's within arm's reach. And can you just picture her? This is how I picture in my mind. I'm picturing that as she's going to reach out to Jesus, someone trips her, and she's just reaching, and the shot changes to slow motion. And she's reaching out her finger to touch the edge of his robe. Can you picture it? Because that's all she needed. She believed that's all she had to do. And she did. And at that moment, when she took the action, hustled through and touched his robe, the Bible says she was healed completely. Mark chapter 5, verse 30, it says that Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. And so he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Now, picture that for a moment. They're all walking. Jesus, the dad, the disciples, everybody all around, everyone pushing. Lady, touch. And Jesus stops. Whoa, stop. Who touched my robe? Now, the disciples who are being bodyguards in the situation, they're like, seriously? I mean, they're pulling a Radley. Seriously? Seriously, Jesus? Were they really doing it like that? I mean, here's what he actually said. When the disciples, he's like, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you say, who touched me? Everyone's touching you. Seriously? But Jesus had paused at this moment so that everyone can know what just happened. You see, this was a teaching moment for everybody who was there, and it's recorded for us to realize here today. Verse 32, but Jesus kept on looking around to see who had done it, who had touched him. And then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. It was me. I reached out and touched your robe. But Jesus wasn't mad. I actually believe that he was impressed with her hustle. Verse 34, he said, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. Wow. She believed she had faith, and it's faith expressed through action that resulted in a miracle. She hustled. She took action. She did something to get what she needed from Jesus. And that's what we've got to think differently about. When we're trying to figure out, how do I get what I need from God? I recognize I've got to do something. I got to believe, but I've got to do something. I've got to hustle. I got to go after. I've got to reach out. And if we're going to take this whole concept and boil it down to a statement that we can boldly declare to say, hey, this is how I'm going to change when it comes to following God, it might look something like this, and it's found in the blue box in your notes. This statement we can declare here today, that I realize that my faith is proved by my actions. I've shared many times that after high school, I joined the military, proud to have served. Our military is awesome. We have an awesome military, but let me tell you why our military is awesome. is because they plan ahead. They plan what they're going to do. They plan out every scenario, and then they practice every scenario. And I always thought it was funny that they call practices exercises. They would practice saying, hey, this scenario just happened. We're all going to exercise and do this scenario. So that whenever it's time to actually do the scenario, when it's actually happening, they're already ready and they can take action. But when it's time to take action, they have two words that they use, that they say out, that everybody knows it's go time. And those two words are move out. Move out means, hey, it's time to go. Hey, it's time to do something. Hey, it's time to take action. It's time to hustle. That this is no longer a practice. This is no longer thinking. This is no longer planning. It's time to go. Move out. So it's no longer about if we want to do it or we're thinking about doing it. It's about actually doing it. And I love the writing by the author James in the book named after him, James chapter 2. He talks about having faith. And when he talks about faith, he says something very profound about faith, that faith is not just thinking. It's not just wishing. It's not just believing. That it's faith that actually drives us to actually take action, to actually do something with it, that doing something with it is like hand in hand, that you can't have one without the other, that you can't have faith without actually having hustle. You gotta do something. It's not just gonna, hey, I just want to be closer to God. Hey, I just want God to answer my prayer. Hey, I just want God to tell me what to do. It's no longer about what you want. It's not about what you need. It's not even just what you believe, but what drives you to action. And so James writes in James chapter 2, verse 17, he says, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. It doesn't exist. You cannot have faith unless it drives you to action. And so we've been asking today, how do I get what I need from Jesus? Well, we've realized that we need to know that nothing is need-based. Just because you need it doesn't mean you get it. Believing in Jesus can help you in the beginning, but hustling after Jesus is actually the key. To get what you need from Jesus, we really need to take notes from this woman as described in Mark chapter 5. You got to hustle after Jesus. You're going to have to do something. It's going to require some work. It's going to require some extra effort. It's going to require some hustle. It's time to move out. Let's go. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take the next few moments to talk to God. God, as we've been looking at this story recorded of this woman and Mark chapter 5, it helps us look at our own lives and to see our own needs and where we need you to come through. And there's probably many here who are watching online who say, you know, I have needs and I wish they would be better. I wish I had an answer. I wish I had a solution. There may be even some that believe that you would be the source, that you could provide that answer, you could provide that solution. But God, we see through the story of this woman who suffered so long that it was her action associated with her faith that made her whole. That she just didn't sit on the sidelines. She just didn't stay at home just thinking maybe one day God will take care of this. But she pursued you. She reached out and she touched you. And God, I pray that we would be inspired today to recognize that faith and action go hand in hand. That you got to do both, that one proves the other. So God, may this be our declaration, may this be our prayer, may this be how we operate following you from this point forward, that we need to say yes and then do, that we need to move out, that we need to hustle after the things you have for us. And if we do have a need, God, may we ask those questions, what do I need to do in response? What do I need to learn? Where do I need to go? So God, help us to prove our faith through action. to hustle after you. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of this message, we said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope was found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope here at the end. And here we are. Today, you might be wondering, why did I even come today? Why am I even here? Why am I even watching right now? And here's what's interesting when it comes to God. God says he draws people to them. It's no accident. It's not a mistake. If you're to be honest with yourself, you'd say there's something missing. I've been searching for. I've had a need. The Bible describes we all have a need. We're all in need of a Savior. You see, because we are human beings, and thanks to Adam and Eve, all human beings are born with an eternal punishment, that one day we will die and we will face judgment, and our judgment result will be that we will spend eternity in hell apart from God. And the reason why is that we are born into sin, and we naturally sin. We do wrong, and there is punishment for sin. In order to escape the punishment, we have to be forgiven, but there's nothing that we can do to earn our forgiveness. And you may hear those words, you may say, but I thought God was a loving God, and how could a loving God send people to hell? See, it has nothing to do with what God's sending to hell. We are already destined to go there as human beings. But let me tell you what a loving God did. A loving God made a way when there was no way, a way for us to be forgiven, to be set free. He loved me and you so much that he sent his son Jesus, not to be a good person, not to start a religious movement. He sent him with a singular purpose, to live life and die for not his sins but ours, that he would pay the price, that he would sacrifice, that he would redeem us, that if we believe, we can be forgiven and set free from our eternal punishment, that we can become a part of God's family, that we can live life with hope and purpose, that God brings focus to our life. You may be saying, Pastor, what you're talking about is what I want. It's what I need. But you talked today that we have to have action. So what action do I need to take place to get what you're talking about? Well, you're correct. Action is required. You see, the Bible says we've got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. In this prayer, we got to recognize that we're not worthy, that we do have sin. It's appropriate to say, I'm sorry for my sin. We need to believe, which we said is the starting point, believe that God loves us, believe that he sent Jesus to pay the price for us. But then we've got to decide to go all in, to say, God, I'm making you the leader of my life. I'm making you the boss of me. I'm going to be the follower. You're going to be in charge. It's in that moment we pray that prayer that everything changes. We're not talking about that your life becomes butterflies and rainbows and everything's perfect. No, we're saying you're no longer alone. We're saying there's purpose. There's a future. There's reasons. God says he knows the plans he has for us, that they're good plans, plans to give us a hope and a future. Today can be the day that you go all in. I want to help you with this prayer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. I'm going to encourage you to pray it out loud, repeating after me. The Bible says it's in our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we take action. We say it out loud. God, you're in charge of me. You're my Lord. But don't worry, you're not praying alone today, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. Whether you're here in person or you're watching online, we're all going to pray this together. You see, this is the most important thing that we do. Here at this church, we're focused at helping people find God's place in their life. And this is where it begins. And so, let's all pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.